Hi there, it's Sewa, and welcome to episode 34 of the She's Off Script podcast. This is a show where we hear and learn from women who have created unique blueprints for success. My hope is that you'll hear their stories and translate their gems into a unique path for yourself. For today's episode, I'm doing another Ask Sewa Anything episode. Thank you to everyone who sent in a question. Before I dive in, and before you hit that forward button, yes, I know you do, please consider subscribing to this podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. This helps make it easier for people to find us as they look for inspiration. Since today's episode is all about what you guys want to know, I thought I'd share a comment I got in response to a recent post I wrote on Instagram. In her comment, Donnie Bonds, who's been a great supporter of the show, writes, "Loving off-script and the term off-scripters, 3 exclamation points. Always look forward to listening in on the discussion. I found you at a time when I needed a dose of inspiration, and your guests served the dose up. 3 exclamation points. Now I'm a loyal listener. Love the earrings, by the way." Thank you so much, Donnie Bonds. I'm always so touched when I hear from off-scripters who tell me the show has really had an impact on their lives. I started listening to podcasts at a time when I needed extra inspiration, and the podcasts I listened to helped me make it through my 9-to-5, and they helped me to solidify my decision to jump into entrepreneurship. I actually thought to myself, if they could do it in the way they've described, I can definitely give it a try. So to think that I've had a similar impact on others is very humbling. So thank you for that comment. I would love to start reading your reviews from iTunes on the show every week, so jump on there and leave the show a review. Okay, so with that, let's get into your questions. So this first question is a fun one that I've heard asked in a few different ways, but never quite in this way. And the response from me also runs a bit deep. So question number one, do you happen to work as a voice actor? You have the voice for it. Well, first of all, thank you for the compliment. I actually haven't worked as a voice actor, but enjoy creating different voices for characters when I read bedtime stories for my daughters. Does that count? Well, I actually have it down to the point where I get requests. They'll say, could you do the ghost voice from that book? Or could you do the grandma voice? I mean, I just have fun with it. But this question always runs deeper for me because I feel like for years I was running away from a big part of my purpose. And who knows, maybe voice acting is a branch of that purpose. But for years, whenever I would speak up, whether sitting in a boardroom or at an event, I noticed people would visibly sit up straighter and their ears would prick up, so to speak. People actually paid attention when I spoke up. And that made me uncomfortable, especially when the negative self-talk would creep in. You know, that voice would say to me, maybe you just have spinach in your teeth from lunch, or maybe they're just looking at you because you look cute today. You know, they're not really listening to what you have to say. Really? Do you think they're listening to you? When I tell you that negative self-talk is a beast to get over, oh, I've really had to work hard on that for myself. In fact, I recently asked a question from the audience at a Dallas Startup Week event, and afterwards, women stopped me in the bathroom and in hallways to say that I had asked a great question, and they complimented me on what a great voice I had. When I told them I had a podcast, I just felt in alignment with at least a part of my purpose. So I'm still not sure why, but for the longest time, I shied away from that part of me. It was like two parts of me pulling in opposite directions. One side wanting me to speak out because it was helpful to others, and another part not wanting me to draw attention to myself. I was actually talking to a friend about this some time ago, and he thought, really? You would never know it looking at you today. As I said, I didn't quite understand it either, but the point is I've largely gotten over it, although, you know, every so often that insecurity still creeps in. For years, that feeling stopped me from going all in on doing things like this podcast or actively seeking out speaking engagements. I feel like I was Jonah and God swallowed me up and definitively spat me out onto this path. And that turning point for me was starting my own business because I had no choice. I have to be the face and the voice of my business. I need to speak up in public places and I need to do it confidently. I truly believe that God will send you messengers along the way to nudge you and to validate you as you go along your journey. You just need to listen. Whenever people would tell me, wow, you really have a knack for public speaking, or wow, your voice sounds amazing, you should really be using it for something, I just needed to listen and act on it and not let that negative self-talk block my purpose. So in answer to your question, no, I don't do any voice acting, but hey, you never know. It might be my future. Question 2. My best friend and I are actually looking to go into business together. We have so many business ideas, but are not sure how to narrow down the list or which one to focus on first. Do you have any advice for us? I hear you, ladies. I'm right there with you. I feel like every other day I get an idea for something I think would be amazing for me to work on in addition to everything else I already have on my plate. So I can definitely empathize with the feeling that there are so many possibilities and not knowing where to go next. For you ladies, I would say to organize your list from the ideas that spark the most joy, just to borrow a Marie Kondo term. So organize your list all the way from the things that spark joy all the way to things that sound like they would be cool, but you're not necessarily passionate about them. After you're able to put together the top 3 items, I would pick the one that you wouldn't mind working on every day for the next 10 years, every waking moment for the next 10 years. And then pick another one that has the largest revenue potential and another that would impact the most people. Now, if all 3 of these criteria lead you to one idea, then that's where you should start doing your deep dive research. Notice I didn't say that's the one that you should run with, because before you actually decide to launch a business, there's a little bit of market research you need to do just to really understand how viable the business is going to be. But if there isn't one idea that checks off all the boxes for you, then just go with the first one on the list because that's the one that sparks joy and excitement for you. Trust me, that excitement, that passion, that joy, it will take you a long way, especially when it comes to all the ups and downs that you will definitely experience while growing your business. Now, this is all assuming that you have some sort of income that you're using to fund this dream of yours. If launching your business is your full-time focus right now and there's no other income, I say focus on the one that has the largest revenue potential first, at least until it's generating enough income for you to then add something on that you're more passionate about. The key here is focus. As consumers, as entrepreneurs, as people looking to get into businesses, we get a high from shopping around and exploring and thinking about the possibilities and comparing and thinking, you know, is this idea better than the next? That process of pondering releases endorphins for some people. But at some point, you're going to need to pick a horse and go with it. Don't let your indecision and the fact that you're enjoying the process of, you know, thinking and brainstorming paralyze you. If option 1 doesn't work, you ladies have the luxury of many more ideas to try. Some people are struggling just to come up with one idea. So pick one of the ones that you have and go with it. You can always double back and try something new. Question 3. Do I need a business plan? I get asked this question a lot. And unfortunately, the answer is that it depends on what you're working on and where you're trying to take it. If you're looking for more traditional forms of financing to grow your company eventually, not only will they want to see a proven history of revenue, so something like 3 to 5 years of income, they will also want to look through a more traditional long-form business plan. That's just what they're comfortable with. If you're working on a tech platform and your aim is to get venture capital, most people don't have the time to look through a long business plan. If you're fortunate enough to get in the same room as a venture capitalist, I assume you already know this, but please don't bust out your 40-page business plan and think he or she's going to have time to sit there and comb through it with you. If you guys are interested in a deep dive episode on the process of getting funding, let me know, send me a note, and I'm happy to put something together. But if you're sitting in front of a VC, they'll want an executive summary and a pitch deck. They'll want to hear from someone who knows the ins and outs of their business and can confidently sell them on it. I know the very thought of writing a business plan can just be daunting for people looking to launch a business, and I would say don't get bogged down at this step. I would recommend using something called a business model canvas. It's a leaner take on a traditional business plan. It covers something like 9 key topics that everyone should research when they're first starting off. And then it can probably be completed in as little as 20 minutes, especially if you've already done some research. Now, if you haven't started doing any research, this can be a great guide that will very quickly bring clarity to what you're working on. So go ahead, Google the business model canvas and give it a shot. Hopefully it will get you over that hump of thinking you need a 40-page business plan. I would say the short and sweet answer to your question is no, you don't really need a business plan in the traditional sense, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do the research required to actually run a viable business. Question 4. I keep hearing that I need to grow an email list, and I've been trying but haven't seen much growth. What would you recommend? Well, it's difficult to make a recommendation not knowing what you've already tried or what your current process looks like. So here's some high-level tips, and if you'd like to chat more about it, you can click on the Let's Chat button on the About Me page at sewa@jpelly.com, and we can get more specific. I actually host free 15-minute coffee chats every Wednesday and Saturday. First up, putting a form saying, sign up for my newsletter on your website doesn't cut it. You need to bring people to that form by offering something they value enough to give you their email address. Now, this can be in the form of a free checklist or resource related to your field, something that's valuable to them. So, for example, if you're in fitness, you could offer a complete at-home workout routine for pregnant women. I feel like that's something I would have been interested in when I was pregnant and really didn't know what hardcore workouts would impact the health of my baby. Or maybe if you're in personal finance, you could offer 10 unconventional ways to save for your dream vacation. As a consumer, if you catch me in that right frame of mind, I would probably stop if I saw a prompt for your free resource. Now you might ask, where will people see this prompt? Well, here are a couple places. First, you should have a link to the resource on your social media bio. That's a free piece of real estate that you could use to advertise your free resources. Another free option is to post a beautiful graphic, description, and some relevant keywords for your resource on Pinterest. Pinterest is a great traffic driver, especially for people who are in a more visual field. And even if you're not in a visual field, if you can attach a beautiful graphic to whatever your information is, people are likely to stop on it and pay attention to it. If you're a wedding planner looking for high-end clients, for example, you could pin a picture of a bride wearing beautiful shoes, beautiful high-end shoes, and title it something like, I show my brides where to find show-stopping high-end shoes for their special day, and prompts people to click on it, and you would take them to your landing page where, of course, they're going to have to give you their name and email address in exchange for your resource on how they too can find those show-stopping shoes. Of course, these are all examples. You'd have to tailor the offerings to your audience and what they respond to. The next way to drive traffic is by using paid traffic sources. Now, this means using Facebook, Instagram, or Google Ads, to name a few. And you would use those platforms to drive relevant traffic to your landing pages. They're great tools to use because you can create custom audiences that really fit the demographic of your ideal customer. Ask Facebook or whatever platform you're using to target them and drive them to your landing page. Once you get people on your mailing list, though, it's important that whatever they download is substantial enough for them to stay on your list. There is nothing worse than seeing a resource that says, hey, if you download this, give me your email address, you will get 1, 2, and 3 out of it. You open it only to find out that it's total fluff and that there's really no value in it. Don't let that be you. There's just so much fluff online these days that you want to be able to build trust with your potential clients, and this is one way to do it. So once you get those people on your mailing list, it's also important that you nurture them and you pull them into your brand. And one way to do this is by setting up an automated series of emails that will welcome them and share more about you as the business owner, share more about your brand and the value that being a part of your community is going to bring them. So this part is a bit outside of the scope of the question, but hopefully you get the idea and hopefully you found this helpful. Question 5. I'm running a service-based business and also have an online product-based business. How do you split up your time once you have multiple streams of revenue to manage? Well, this question is definitely relevant to where I am right now. I run a digital consulting firm called Paley & Co., host this podcast. I also produce the podcast, by the way, as well as speak at events from time to time. I would say planning is key. For me, I designate specific days for different facets of my business, as opposed to, you know, just jumping from one task to the next without any rhyme or reason. This helps to keep me motivated because I get to see a whole task completed from front to back on any given day. And because I have these designated days and times, I'm able to set aside times for business development, meeting with contractors, producing social media content, recording podcast episodes, you get the idea. Having themed days has been a great way for me to feel sane and feel like I'm making progress. Now, you have to be flexible though, because on some days, one part of the business might be flaring up and could need your attention more than the other. And on days like that, you can just shift things around and focus on your product-based business instead of the service-based business for that day. But in general, walking into a week with a plan has been very helpful to me. As far as what gets the most attention, it's always a balancing act. But for me, it's going to be a balance between what gets me paid versus what's fun and feeds my soul. In many ways, those tend to align for me, and I'm grateful for that. In other ways, I may not love managing project budgets and invoicing, but it still needs to get done if I'm going to get paid, right? For you, I would ask, what do you need in order to keep the lights on? If that side of your business requires a lot of manual intervention, a lot of your undivided focus, I would recommend finding ways to simplify or automate so that you feel like you can be free to focus on your other streams of business, which it sounds like you may have a preference for one over the other. Now, ways to simplify could include creating email templates for the different kinds of queries you get that you get often, so you're not drafting emails from scratch every single time. Or maybe even creating a procedure manual. I know, boring, sounds very corporate, but I think in the corporate setting, they do that for a reason, is because it helps. You need some sort of a rule book so other people can step in and help you. If you are a bottleneck to the growth of your business, if you're the one who feels like I need to touch every single thing before it leaves the door, it's going to be difficult to scale in that way. Having a rule book that explains to people how they can help you in a way that meets your high standards is going to help you when you're ready to step out and allow other people to step in. So this could be like a social media guide, for example. If a lot of your business is social media based, you could have a style guide so that someone who steps in to help you can maintain the same aesthetic, and they can maintain the same voice as you've been putting out on your platforms. So if you're at the point where you can bring in a virtual assistant to help, getting all of this in place is going to make having a VA worth it for you because there is no ambiguity. They will understand exactly how things need to be done, when they need to be done, and they will do it to the level that you don't feel like you constantly need to look over their shoulder. really there's no point in paying someone if you're still going to go in behind them and touch every single thing that they do. So a lot of times that's a mindset shift, right? There's a shift in mindset that needs to take place to get you from the point where you think you're the only one that can do certain things to the point where sometimes 95% might need to be acceptable in order to really move the whole ship forward. Perfection sometimes can be the enemy of progress. So sometimes we just need to check ourselves on that front. But if you're so in the weeds of your business that you don't realize that you've actually reached a point where you need to bring people into the fold, it might be time to assess your business and see where you are and see where perhaps other people can step in, where it's really not a high risk function, but it's also a function that you most likely don't really need to be doing. It's not a function that's driving revenue. It's not business development. It's not actually working on client product. It's just doing admin stuff that you could bring someone else in on. I know it's a difficult shift to make when you've been doing your own thing exactly how you want it for the longest time. And I know a lot of people go into entrepreneurship thinking that they're going to be solopreneurs. They don't want to manage people. They don't want to work with anyone else just because they've had bad experiences in the past. But even your solo business can go under just because you're not building enough capacity, you're not growing as fast as you should, and you're not doing enough innovation. And where a company is not growing, you're not innovating, you're leaving yourself vulnerable to other people coming in, sneaking behind you, and really taking the business forward further and faster than you have. So really, it's important that you free yourself to focus on strategic parts of your business if you want to get it to the next level. Because even if you think, I want to stay small forever, staying stagnant is the same as year by year dying and seeing your company come to an end very soon. So just think about that. Think about that as you're looking to grow and as you're looking to figure out where you want to allocate your time. Time is a finite resource. We don't have a lot of it. So as a solo business, as a solopreneur, you're asking the right question. You're trying to figure out what should I be focusing on. It's also important to figure out how you're going to then allow yourself to create those areas of focus in your business. Okay, so I think that's all the questions I have time for today. I was just trying to keep this episode on the shorter side. If you guys would like to do a live Ask Sewa Anything session, either in our Facebook community or on Instagram, let me know. I just love hearing what you guys are thinking and what you're working on. So it'd be great to do some of this troubleshooting and problem solving together. Okay, so with that, we'll see you next week for another conversation that will hopefully get us closer to creating our unique blueprint for success. I'm so glad you made it to the end of today's episode. If you enjoyed the episode, please go on iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and write us a review. As always, don't forget to share this episode with your friends, family, colleagues, anyone who cares to listen. We'll talk to you next time.